The following is a presentation of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. If it happens on a mat, we're talking about it at matttalkonline.com. Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. The World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap and Compound Clothing. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO. And, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall. And welcome to the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. We're joined today as we start looking towards the wrestling season and the upcoming World Championships with John McGovern, head coach at the University of Dubuque and two-time NCAA Division III champion, Terry Brands, freestyle world champion and associate head coach at the University of Iowa, and Dennis Hall, Greco-Roman world champion. And before we get into our discussion today, we're going to pitch this to Coach McGovern to give you guys, the listeners out there, an understanding of what World Wrestling Resource is and the benefits of jumping on board with World Wrestling Resource. Coach McGovern, take it away.
Well, thanks, Jason. Thanks for having this call. Basically, we started World Wrestling Resource to make the resources available and accessible to anybody at an affordable rate to find out what the best resources are out there in wrestling. And I partnered with Terry and Dennis, and nothing probably places great coaching and training partners at the same time. Knowing what the best resources are and what the coaches are saying can help a high school wrestler or youth wrestler develop along the path. So I was kind of late on the learning curve on getting some of that freestyle wrestle. I wasn't wrestling on their level, at the Fargo and Junior Nationals high school level. And these guys were great in the freestyle Greco scene early on. They had a lot of great resources. I felt like I always had great coaches, but we kind of want to use the experience of this staff to help parents or youth or wrestlers know what the best resources are out there and then give insight in what it takes to become a champion.
Coach Brands, what are some of the resources you like to bring to the World Wrestling Resource staff?
We do a lot of technique videos with training plans and then showing certain techniques. Maybe troubleshooting extended single leg or beating a chest lock and a high crotch, just for some random examples there. Getting off the bottom if a guy's got a leg in or whatever the situation might be. My favorites are any or all of the above based on, what the student athlete or the student or the athlete, whichever way you want to go with that, whatever they need, that would be my favorite one at the time.
And Coach Hall, same question.
I'd like to get out the upper body techniques. I don't think a lot of people know enough about upper body or just plain and simple about hand fighting. So I like to focus on that type of stuff and give guys tools that can help them win matches. If a kid develops a throw or positions knowing how to score 5 points, he's in every match. So for me, that's what I like to help out with.
Now, as we move on in our coaching discussion, we'll send this over to Coach Brands and ask, what should coaches be doing this fall to prepare for their upcoming seasons?
Well, I think that it's a broad question and a dynamic one at where I'm sitting. I think it's an evaluation of last year and the junior national season that just got over. And it is a situation where the kids or the athletes that are in your program, you are on a constant evaluation relationship with them, meaning that you're around them in the off season, you're around them when there's downtime, you're around them during the preparation for Fargo, you're around them during their strength training phases, you're around them during their conditioning phases, you're around them in the academic arena, talking to them, mentoring them, those kind of things. And when I say around them, I don't mean, mothering them or, they're completely under your wing, but I mean you got your eye on their life. You understand what they're doing. So the quick answer to that is you are on top of the incoming class. You understand, your feeder program and what you have coming in, and then you also understand what you have coming back in returner in that kind of situation. You understand the holes that you have to fill, and you understand, you know, the guys that graduated and where they're at. And then along with that, you have the social aspect of, you know, what are these guys doing during the summer? Where's, you know, your heavyweight? Maybe he's playing football. Where's his shape level going to be? What can I do to enhance that? You got a guy that's, you know, maybe a little rambunctious and he's maybe socially hard to keep track of, or he comes from a broken family, or he's just, you know, kind of a tough kid to keep your finger on. And you got to be aware of that and then make those spot checks and make sure that he's not getting in trouble, make sure he's handling, you know, himself properly, respectfully in the community and with the teachers and with his academics and all that. So it's really a broad, like I said, it's a broad question that is executed through you just being in touch with your team as individuals.
Well, let's break it down a little bit more specifically. You touched on the incoming group. This is a very busy time for college freshmen. You've got kids coming into a situation where a lot of them have never left home before. They're living away from home for the first time in their lives. They've got a lot of distractions. It's college football season. There's a lot of fun to have on the weekends. And a lot of these guys are going to need a little bit of guidance, and actually, and women too, because of speaking for the women's programs out there, they're going to need guidance in these first couple weeks of school. How important is, like you said, being around them for those incoming freshmen?
It's everything. It's the importance is everything because it's relational. You know, the kid and the athlete and the student is going to feel really, really unconnected if you don't develop that relationship. And then it's hard for you to mentor. If I don't develop a relationship, if I'm not around them, then what good is it going to be for me to say, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't be going out and drinking, you're underage, or whatever the case might be. So it's a relational thing. It's something that when you talk about stuff like this, it's work, it's coaching. This is coaching. I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, the definition of coaching is knowing your person. And knowing how to motivate them, knowing how to get the most out of them, knowing how to help them through tough times, knowing what doesn't work with them, knowing what sets them back. You know, there's not a lot of good negative ways to coach that I'm aware of. You have to be a really positive person. You have to know those buttons to push and what motivates each person. And, you know, you hit on a really good point with the women, too. The young ladies going into collegiate programs, it's the same thing. It's relational. It's them, not getting them to trust. And the same thing with the guys. I'm not trying to get, you know, our incoming guys to trust us, or guys that maybe I haven't developed that trust with. I'm not trying to get them to trust us. What we're trying to do is we're trying to, you know, show them what kind of people we are so that trust just occurs naturally.
Now, Coach McGovern, being at the Division III level, what differences do you have to deal with when coaching your athletes and speaking on some of the topics Coach Brands did? You've got wrestlers who aren't scholarship athletes. Some might even be playing other sports. And you've got this perspective. You've coached at the Division I level now. You're head coach at Division III. You know, what are some of those things that you have to deal with being a Division III coach?
I think it's the same as what Terry was saying, getting to know the athlete and being, you know, building that relationship. I think maybe it's a little different in the sense that we don't have as many contact on the mat hours. You know, we can't start official contact until October 10th. We can have a strength coach put them through some strength workouts here early, but it's probably pretty much the same coaching type of philosophy that's going into it. So probably not a whole lot different.
Now, Coach Hall, youth wrestling and wrestling below the high school level has exploded with big participation numbers. USA Wrestling has set record membership numbers. So there's a lot more kids wrestling, and a lot of those kids are becoming more specialized. But as the youth and middle school type of season rolls through, what can youth parents and coaches do for their sons and daughters to prepare for the upcoming season?
You know, right now, I think the parents just got to get them to the practices, see if they're, you know, there's some youth programs or junior high programs that have good coaches. So if you got a good coach, follow your coach. But if the coach in your town that you live in isn't quite necessary gearing your kid to where you want, not where you want, but where the kid wants to go, I think you have to look for outside clubs and, you know, or find technique websites that can help the kids out, like World Wrestling Resource. I think a lot of times, you know, at the junior highs, it's more about numbers to build that high school program and not so much about competitive spirit. And I think you got to have the competitive spirit in there too.
And of course, Coach Hall, this time of year we do have football rolling around. There's a lot of youth football leagues going on. And how important do you think it is to stress to parents that, you know, you can play more than one sport, still be a successful wrestler at this age? I mean, you don't necessarily need to be specialized at 12 years old.
I agree. I think a lot of times we put kids on the mat too much, and that turns out to wearing them out and burning them out. I think the biggest thing is you let your kids decide what they want to do, and when they're in that season, they're in the season, and they got to give their best effort. And I think a lot of times we push kids a little bit too hard when they're too young, and that's why we lose them. So I think it is important that parents realize that, you know what, let the kid decide what he wants to do.
As we move to the upcoming World Championships in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, the United States bringing an extremely exciting team to the mats in freestyle. Coach Brands, before we talk about the individual athletes, as a whole, when you were coming through, there was an era of some super great teams, a lot of medals. How do you think today's world team compares to some of those great teams you were on in the past?
I think this team is potentially, like you said, I think there's a lot of people that are really excited for what they're capable of doing. The key from here on out is we got to deliver now.
Now, when you say deliver, you've got guys that have won medals. Obviously, Jordan Burroughs and Jake Varner have been at the top of the mountain. They've won Olympic golds. You've got guys there in the Hawkeye Club that are Tony Ramos making his first appearance. Brent Metcalf has been there before, still looking for a medal. What do these guys have to do to not, you know, guys like Varner and Burroughs to get another gold medal, and guys like Ramos and Metcalf to win their first?
Well, this is the first time in a lot of years that we've had two reigning Olympic champions on a team. And that says a lot about the retention and the ideas that USA Wrestling has put out there, you know, going back to when Zeke started, and some of the things that he's implemented have been outstanding. And the fact that we've gotten money for the youth tours, and you're going to start to see, you know, you already saw some huge gains made with the university age level and the cadet age level, your FILA age level, the amount of hardware that we're bringing in. And you're going to see more of that, and it's going to, you know, carry on over into the sea. Well, for the present, you know, there's not a lot of things you have to do with a guy like that. You know, tweak him here, tweak him there, you know, get him to feel comfortable in the environment that he's in, you know, take care of his needs and his wants and that kind of thing. With Varner, you know, it's, for me, it would be, you know, having him understand that, hey, you've been there, you won the Olympic Games, you know, you just need to get back to where you were and believe that you are the best guy in the world again, and then just do your wrestling and let your wrestling show and shine on the mat. And then, you know, those things will take care of themselves. Tervell, you know, you got kind of the same thing where a guy, you know, everybody that knows Tervell and understands American wrestling and follows it, there's not very many people that don't think he's one of the best heavyweights in the world. And it's to really get him to know that and to feel, get him to feel like that's really a reality in his life. And, you know, I mean, when you listen to some of the interviews, it's something that he wants desperately, something that an aspiration that he wants to fulfill desperately. But, you know, there's just some wavering in his confidence maybe a little bit. You need to really get to know him and figure out what that is and then take that away from him there. You know, and the same thing with, you know, the other guys, maybe take Nick Marable. I mean, holy cow, he beat Burroughs. You know, I don't know where the issue would be in his head for him to, you know, really be able to be a contender automatically without there ever being an automatic, if that makes sense. He's kind of read between the lines there. But Marable is capable. And, you know, with the kind of upbringing that he has in the international scene with Sammy Hansen, he should know how to win. And he should know how to believe in himself. And he should know how to have that supreme self-confidence that, you know, a guy like Hansen carries with him every day. So, you know, there are some really, really good examples right there from veterans on to the beginners. And then you're talking about our Hawkeye Wrestling Club guys with Metcalf. It's time for him to win. You know, I saw an interview where Tom was talking, and I think Tom was right on the money there. It's time for him to win. He's beaten everybody in the world. He's won Krasnoyarsk. He's won the final Golden Grand Prix in Baku, Azerbaijan, and you know, a host of other events. And it's time for him to really put it out of the World Championships and do what I said, which is deliver. And when I say deliver, I mean yellow medal, like Ramos said. And Ramos is the same way. You know, the thing is with this, we got a really talented team. And when we look at it from, you know, being Americans, yeah, it looks good on paper, but the bottom line is go out and wrestle. You know, from Ramos to Tervell, go out and wrestle. And we do. We have a great stable of guys there. And, you know, we just got to see them really have that confidence and then manifest it on the wrestling mat when, you know, when the whistle blows.
You know, some of our focus here at the World Wrestling Resource is on coaching, and there was a unique situation where Zeke Jones left the national team post to take the head coaching job at Arizona State, and USA Wrestling went back to the future, so to speak, and bringing in Bruce Burnett to kind of to pilot the ship for the next 2 years, and you've had the opportunity to work with Bruce over the years. From what you've seen at training camps and knowing what you know about Bruce Burnett, how is he going to have this team prepared?
I think he's more or less kind of watching and tweaking, like I said earlier. You know, a good national coach is a manager. And that means that, you know, he works alongside the guys that they're around every day and around the programs that they're around every day and kind of, you know, watches and implements and gives ideas and then, you know, kind of sets back and watches that manifest itself. And if he doesn't feel like the job's getting done the way that he needs it to get done, then he steps in. And I think he is a really, really good coach from that perspective. The things that Zeke implemented, and I don't want to slap him on the back too hard because I know he's not that kind of guy, but the things that Zeke implemented, the national coach, are going to carry over for a long time. And the way that he had the things running, you know, with the guys that were coming in, it was going to be a natural transition, really, for any coach. As long as that coach can kind of get out of the way of himself, and that's where I think Coach Burnett is really, really good. The guy doesn't have an ego. He doesn't have a problem with, you know, Kale Sanderson coaching his guys or Sammy Henson coaching his guys and et cetera, et cetera. So that's going to go a long ways with him as a coach for sure.
Dennis, we got a new national team coach on the Greco-Roman side of things, world and Olympic medalist Matt Lindland. The United States hasn't won a medal in Greco-Roman since Jermeil Byers was the world silver medalist back in 2009. What, in your view, does Coach Lindland have to do to get our world and Olympic teams to start winning medals again in Greco-Roman?
You know, in my view, I think plain and simple, you just got to get the guys believing in their ability, work on their pummeling skills, and get them to attack the body. You can't go out there and wrestle not to get scored on. You got to go out there to score points and, you know, use these periods that they have now to get guys tired. It should be an advantage for us with the periods being 3 minutes. And I think if the guys go out there and fight, I know Bezic's doing a really good job at going out there and being physical and getting guys tired. And you know, I think the bottom line is they just got to go out there and they got to battle. I think a lot of times we go as Greco-Roman wrestlers from the United States, athletes go out there not believing they can win. And so, number one, you know, preach the fight in the wrestling room. Number two, tell them they are good enough and get guys over that they can wrestle so they're comfortable when they get on the world stage.
So your team has a mix of experience and youth. Spencer Mango's been kind of the guy for the last 7 straight world and Olympic teams. He had his best senior placement at the World Championships last year. He was wrestling for a medal, finished 5th. Justin Lester, 2-time world medalist, he's taken advantage of a new weight class. Robbie Smith at heavyweight, he was 5th in the world last year. And you got guys like Andy Bissick, Jordan Holm, they're making return trips. What are these guys that are on this year's team have to do technically and tactically beyond just winning the fight to bring home some medals and usher in a new era of Greco-Roman wrestling in the United States?
For me, they got to attack the body. If they ain't attacking the body, we ain't going to get the cautions. We got to be moving forward. We got to get to the body and put the other guy in a position where he's got to scramble. We wrestle collegiately all the way growing up, and I think you know, we got to put guys in situations where we're better at them. The other thing is our parterre defense has got to be spot on. If we want to win a medal, we got to realize we're probably going down first at the World Championships, and we got to be able to defend what they're going to throw at us for about 30 seconds. And if they do that, they can bring some medals home.
And one of the things Coach Lindland and I think everybody around the Greco-Roman program has kind of discussed is depth. If you look on the freestyle side of things, you got guys that are 8, 9, 10 that can go out there and win matches against the 1s, 2s, and 3s. In Greco, you're still looking at maybe 1, 2, and 3, and then there's a significant gap. What can the Greco-Roman coaching community do to bring in more wrestlers to give Greco-Roman a shot?
You know, number one, we need regional training centers throughout the country. You know, right now we don't have what freestyle has, and we need to start developing them. You know, we need more clubs. Right now there's basically Army and then NYAC for clubs. It's less opportunities for Greco wrestlers, and we got to change that.
Now, let me fire this over to Coach Brands as a hypothetical. Say if there's a group of guys in Iowa that like to wrestle Greco, how much time would the Hawkeye Club, you guys have pretty much been freestyle, but say if there's a contingent of Greco guys that want to train with a Hawkeye Club, how do you think that would be received?
I think it would be received perfectly fine. I think that with a guy like Sam Stoll in our room and Corey Clark in our room, both guys, especially Stoll, has shown that they can compete at the international level. Stoll was bronze last year. And Clark, you know, won some national championships in the junior nationals. And they're both very, very good at a lot of the skills that you have to have in Greco-Roman wrestling, like a reverse lift for Clark or, you know, pushing and banging with the heavyweight and teaching him how to hand fight and get angles and continuing to do that. We're going to do that anyway with him. You know, it would make sense, and it would be really not in his best interest to not continue to compete in Greco-Roman wrestling. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, people have to realize is that when we recruit, we're recruiting guys that go to legs and guys that are offensive. So we don't see that a lot. We don't get a lot of guys that are just upper body and hand fighters only. We get guys that are extremely aggressive and hand fighting, yes, but also guys that go to the legs and score points and that can down block when a guy comes to your leg. But we do have a couple of guys in there right now. You know, Burke Paddock is another recruit that really dominated his way through Fargo. I believe you were there and saw that. So, you know, we have some people in that room, and we're not against that. In fact, we're in favor of that kind of stuff.
What do you think it would take for some of the other training centers to open the doors for more Greco? Because most of them that are on the college campuses are primarily freestyle-based, and as Dennis alluded to, there's not that much opportunity. There's the Storm up here in Minnesota, there's the Army, and then you've got Northern Michigan and a couple of guys training on their own. I mean, how cool would it be if say, Penn State and the Nittany Lion Club had a couple Greco guys in there, Iowa had a couple Greco guys, John Smith down at Oklahoma State had a couple Greco guys, and build the Greco-Roman program within the existing freestyle training centers?
I think those are really, really good ideas, and one of the things that when they were looking for a new Greco coach, one of the things that I would have been hugely in favor of is getting Yvonne back involved, making a training center out there, getting some money invested into places where there's guys at. I mean, Dennis Hall's lived in Stevens Point, Wisconsin for how many years now? Am I crying out loud? Get some people up there with him. Put some money into him. You know, he's a great resource. He's a great coach. Let's start using him. As far as our program, that's an awesome idea. But here's the thing. The Greco-Roman community has to trust that. And one of the things that was kind of flying around out there was, well, freestyle guys can't help Greco guys, and that's just simply not the case. And it's not the case that Greco guys can't help freestyle guys. It's just not the case. I mean, part of the things that makes wrestling great in America is the American blood running through our veins. It's not necessarily the style. You know, Dennis hit on that about the fight. Bring the fight to the doggone mat, and we're going to have a lot better chances anyway. So, yeah, let's bring them in. I mean, our room is a great place to train for Greco-Roman wrestling, but there has to be that trust. It kind of goes back to your first question. To me, you know, how do you know where, you know, where the beginning of the season? Well, beginning of the season, what if we brought in these Greco guys? Are they really going to believe that Iowa City, Iowa, is the best place where they can win world and Olympic gold medals in Greco-Roman wrestling? If they believe that, then yes, it is the best place. You know, if they don't believe that, then it's not the best place. It really boils down to that. And the Greco community has to, you know, they have to, you know, maybe be a little bit more open-minded also that way. And I'm not picking or treading on them at all. I'm just saying that they are kind of a little bit clicky that way when it comes to that.
Dennis, your thoughts?
My thoughts, I think
Terry's right on. I think we just need more places throughout the country. I went down to Iowa and I was training myself just to get different looks. I think you got to be open-minded. You got to pick what guys can teach you and take it back home and train with it. So I'm not against any of those places having, training centers, regional training centers open for Greco. I think Greco guys can help the freestyle guys with gut-wrench defense, and gut-wrench offense. I think freestyle guys can help the Greco guys with level changes, with hand fighting. I think it works hand-in-hand. I mean, it doesn't have to be just a Greco room or a freestyle room. It can work together and then have separate workouts, too. I think that's what that needs to happen.
As we shift around to the collegiate season and the National Wrestling Coaches Association convention just wrapped up in Fort Lauderdale, and Coach McGovern, you were there, and some of the key topics were about focusing on where the critical areas of amateur wrestling are, skin infections, prevention, and things of that nature, and of course, the national duels. What were some of your takeaways that you got from the convention on maybe a program-specific level for you at the University of Dubuque and from a wrestling perspective in general?
They hit on retention a lot in of programs and of wrestlers, and they really felt duels were key for college programs, keep and retain programs at the collegiate level, to have the fans there, because sometimes your performance at the national tournament is as big of an interest to the administration as the support of your program. And so they're really into, retention, the dual meet format, trying to get fans there, and that's why the national duels is, moving forward for the small colleges, and Fortland, Indiana, and Dave Dean's going to host it, and he thinks he'll have it along a youth duels event, around 7,000, he thinks, fans there, and it'll be interactive, and that's kind of what Mike was, Moyer, president of NWC, was really talking about, was just, trying to retain the programs we have and build and grow the sport.
One thing that was brought up with that, as you just alluded to, was having youth wrestling events. And so much of our wrestling culture is focused around a small group of Division I schools. And where do you see the benefit as a Division III wrestling coach to showcase the wrestling at the Division II, Division III, NAIA, junior college, and NCAA levels to kids that they might want to continue wrestling on in college? They might not be ready for a grinded Division I, or maybe they're not ready for that level of competition. What are the benefits of having, youth wrestling and high school wrestling events alongside non-Division I competition?
Yeah, I think the idea is that the youth athletes can start to hear the story of some of the D3 athletes, and kind of goes back to what Terry said. If those guys can find a program or a coach that they believe in and it feels like a good fit, they can be the next world team member, like Jeff Ross from Elmhurst, or I was at a small college. I really liked my coaches, and then I went on to grad school at Iowa. But, I think you can get at the highest level if you believe, and you have a good coach you have a good relationship with, and you have good training partners. You can go about as far as you want to.
Now, speaking of retention, wrestling has, especially at the Division I level, there's a lot of turnover. That's a cause for a lot of APR issues. But I guess this one, we'll start with Coach Brands on this. At such a rugged program like Iowa, what are some of the things that you kind of have to struggle with and then work through to make sure that you're retaining athletes, not just on the team, but in school and having their grades up at the same time?
Well, you're mapping work ethic, and you're mapping, that stuff right from the get-go. Once you start recruiting, you're talking to people in their school, you're talking to friends, you're talking to coaches that may not be involved with their everyday today, but how they interact with them when they walk by them at a wrestling event, or guys that were at a wrestling camp. You're finding out what their work ethic is about. You're finding out what their social habits are about. Most of the APR problems aren't going to come from a kid just not being smart enough to stay in school. Most of your APR issues are going to come from, the guy that doesn't get the academics, or we don't retain him because he gets in trouble, he gets arrested, he's a knucklehead, for a night, and then he all of a sudden, the university kicks him out of school, or all of a sudden over a year, maybe he doesn't get arrested, but over the year he's kind of not doing the right thing socially and morally there, and he gets into trouble where he's not going to class, and then, you lose him on that way. And so, you're looking at character, you're looking at work ethic. You're looking at character, you're looking at work ethic. It really boils down to that. You really got to, it's relational again, like I said earlier. You got to know and understand what can help these guys and what makes them tick and what motivates them.
Coach McGovern, Division III, a lot of these schools are enrollment-driven, so a lot of these schools, they're instead of the opposite side of Division I, where you're kind of looking at roster caps, Division II, Division III, the NAIA level, they're looking to bring in more students, and wrestling's a way to do that. What do you do at the Division III level to try to entice your athletes to stick around, maybe if they're not getting mat time, but to stay involved and be retained on your roster and within your program?
I try to give them a lot of matches and make sure they're all, you know, that relationship is intact, that it goes beyond, you know, the wrestling mat, that you're interested in their career and how they develop as a human being, and that they can set life goals and you take an interest in those life goals with the student athlete.
And as we wrap up here, Coach McGovern, let's give us your final thoughts on this new season of the World Wrestling Resource coming the way for the fans out there.
Well, Jason, we appreciate your expertise in hosting these calls for us. And, you know, we're excited to, you know, be able to offer these, you know, these calls, and there'll be some other, you know, projects that are coming down the line. But, you know, with Terry and Dennis, those guys got a lot of integrity. You know, when we talk about resources and what to put out there from our website, Dennis are real adamant about it. It has to have a lot of integrity and it has to be a solid product. So we feel good about, you know, maybe not going fast, but doing things the right way.
Dennis, your thoughts?
Pretty much same as John. I think we got a good product, and, you know, we just look forward to helping people out in their sport.
And Coach Brands, the floor is yours. Final call.
Well, appreciate to you. You're going to help us a lot because I know that you're the voice of wrestling these days, and I mean that sincerely. You do a great job, and for you to even, you know, take your time and do this for us should say a lot of listening about when, you know, check it out. That's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to make any predictions. I'm not going to tell you it's the best or it's not the best. Check it out and see what you think. If you like it, we're here.